What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 42 and a half here on the Rocket Punch Show. I'm your host, the man behind the helm here at Rocket Punch, Cameron. And it's just me. It's another one of those solo episodes. I think I've done one or two before, if memory serves right, depending on what's going on. And I remember talking back then about I was going to try and do more depending on situational stuff and what happened. And not that Seth wasn't able to do anything this past week. Always love hanging out with Seth and chatting about video games with him. But had an issue this past Sunday where we had some pretty heavy storms come through. We actually, where I'm at now in Huntsville, we're still having pretty heavy storms come through. It's been raining on and off the last couple of days, and it's supposed to for most of the week. But storms came out. Actually, man, funny story. I actually had a lightning bolt hit like literally in between my house and a neighbor's house. Was sitting here, I think I was at one point playing a game early Sunday, and all of a sudden it's raining, it's pouring, and the house just shakes, and my monitor flickers for a half second, and I'm like, oh God, a surge just hit my house and all my electronics are dead. Luckily they were not dead, everything was fine, but ended up walking out. My wife and my mother-in-law, who happened to be over, and a bunch of other people, we walked out, and and even the neighbors, we found out the next day that, yeah, apparently a lightning bolt had struck in between our yards, and at least for now, knock on wood here, our stuff is okay, but it looks like the neighbors, it took out like that whole wall, like her fridge and part of her AC and a couple other electronic components in the house. So I think it maybe landed a little bit closer to her house than ours. That being said, that was literally like a foot or two away. I had to run around, like ran around through the yard, checking the AC, checking the internet, and checking where, cause it like right in between where the lightning bolt hit is right where both of our, like both mine and my neighbor's stuff is for like power and cable and internet that comes into the house, as well as our AC units and other various things that are powered in the house. So it sucks. It's one of those things you don't expect to see or happen. What's the chances of you getting struck by lightning or whatever, one in bazillion or something like that. But apparently the chances of you living in a house with lightning striking within a few feet of you is a little bit better than you would have thought. Long story short, because of that and the concerns with that, there decided not doing the show this past Sunday. But as I want to try and do, and I've talked to you guys before, I want to try and continue giving you guys weekly shows and weekly content, to the best of my ability. So I figured I'd sit down and, there were some news that we can discuss. So I figured if anything, I will give you my opinions on them and my thoughts on some of the news that happened this past week in the gaming industry there. So that's what we're all about here, guys. Other than that, starting the intro and the show out here, any cool updates? All tech updates, building my computer. I finally got my third computer built that I'm going to use as kind of like a living room TV PC, kind of entertainment PC deal like that. That got built and it looks sweet. It looks so good. One thing I want to do is I need to get more involved socially, and like I'm describing this stuff to you guys, and nobody can see it because they're listening via podcast services, and I don't have a video format. I've decided not doing video for any half episodes. So 42 and a half, not doing video for it. I'll get on Instagram. Make sure you're following me at Rocket Punch Go on Instagram, and I'll shoot a couple of pictures over that way of the new rig. But it's pretty cool. It's very small, and apparently I just have an affinity for small form factor PCs, but it's dope. And then I got a story. I will have to wait until Seth is on the show, so the next episode we do, I'll talk more about it. But long story short, I got a 3080 Ti after some travel and a visit to the closest micro center that I could find there and a little bit of luck. And I've been playing around with that, playing some Death Stranding, and looking like It is very awesome to play a game like Death Stranding at 100 and like 144 hertz, which my monitor goes to 165, but I didn't want it to go full on, but like at 144 hertz consistently, 2K, it's purdy. It's real purdy, because we're down here in the South, and I can say purdy. And y'all, and all that other great stuff here. You want to know why, guys? Because this is the Rocket Punch Show, your Southern source for all things gaming, geek, and more. You can listen to the show every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. You can also listen to us live as we record the show, when I actually have Seth on here, each and every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, right over on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. You cannot miss us there at all. We do it every Sunday. We have a lot of fun chatting with people in chat, giving their live thoughts and opinions on some of the topics we're discussing there. Guys, if you want to find out more about what I'm making for you and the content I'm making for you, make sure you head over to rocketpunchgo.com. That is your one-stop shop for all the videos, podcast streams, and more that are going to be coming your way there. There are a bunch of different ways that you guys can help support the show, support the content that I'm making, but I will talk about that a little bit later in the show. After I get that burp out, and then a little bit later after that, after we get to a topic or two. Upcoming stuff, I don't really have anything upcoming. For people who maybe didn't hear the quick life update thing that I posted on patreon.com/rocketpunch a couple weeks ago, you can go listen to that if you'd like. If you don't, it's fine. But one of the big highlights there is that I just got off my vacation. I'm kind of back into work now. Got a good time to rest here, and I came up with some ideas that what I work on for content with Rocket Punch, and kind of how I want to streamline Rocket Punch for myself, doing things and making content for you guys, which I love and enjoy doing, but also making sure I'm not completely burnt out and that I have time for other things in my life, like work, like school, like my wife, friends, and all that other good stuff there. So I've got some plans in place. I've got to work on those a little bit more. But right now, tentatively, I'm looking at doing a couple of new content releases, hopefully some more videos, a video thing every week or things of that nature, starting in August. As we get closer to August, I'll give more concrete dates for things you guys should be expecting, when and where. Just assume, put into your minds, August is going to be that time frame where you guys will see a little bit more content from me. It's been nice kind of getting my head back in the content creation space, but by just doing the podcast weekly here and getting me a lot of ideas on how I want my videos to go on YouTube and Twitch and streaming, because that's going to come back, and all that other stuff there. So stay tuned for that, guys. If you've missed out on that, don't worry, it's coming back. I just want to make sure that when I do bring it back, that it's consistent, it's quality, and it is manageable. Those are the big three things for me, because it's not fair to you guys if I throw five or six videos and streams together for a few weeks and then completely dip out again for another 5 or 6 weeks. So stay tuned for that. I'll give you guys more details as we get closer to it there. That being said, and I expect, because I'm the only one talking here, that this show will likely be short on the shorter end, but that's cool. There's still some things to talk about here. Topics of the show. Topic number one, it's the thing that I think some people are still, I don't know if buzzing is the right word to describe it, but Nintendo Switch has a new model. It's the Switch Pro, right? It's the one thing everybody's been waiting for. Well, maybe not. Reading here from Dieter Bohn over at, I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, Dieter Bohn, Dieter Bohn, I hope that's right, over on The Verge. Just reading a quick little blurb here. Actually, no, am I? They no 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 okay. Reading here, oh, actually, it's a second article that I'm tying to that. It's from the entire Verge staff here, as they were giving updates on the Nintendo OLED Switch. Which is the OLED model, Nintendo Switch OLED model is what it's officially being called here. Read a quick paragraph to give you guys the quick and dirty updates on it here. Nintendo has just revealed a new Nintendo Switch, and it brings some nice upgrades to the four-year-old console. The most notable is a larger 7-inch 720p OLED screen, but it also has improved speakers, a Microsoft Surface-like kickstand, 64 gigabytes of internal storage, and a new dock with an included Ethernet port. The new Switch will not be displaying 4K graphics when connected to a TV, despite rumors that had suggested otherwise, and there are not any major changes to the CPU or RAM. But even though this OLED Switch is a lot like the old one, there's still a lot to dig into about it. You can catch up on all the coverage on the new console right here, and they've got a bunch of little articles and threads that they've been kind of updating with there. But yes, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Here, there are now, there's a third member in the family, the Nintendo Switch OLED model. Some of the main differences here to break it down for you guys. It has a I'm looking on their website to make sure I'm giving you guys the right information here. It has a 7.0 screen compared to the 6.2 inch screen on the Nintendo Switch, the original one. The screen on the OLED model is a 7 inch OLED screen as compared to a 6.2 inch LCD touchscreen. They're both touchscreen. The 64 gigabytes of storage is double what the standard model comes with. The standard model has 32 gigs and the new one has 64 gigs. Battery life is still the same, regardless of whether you get the OLED model or the standard model. The new kickstand allows you kind of like to tilt it back further, which is pretty neat if you use that kickstand a lot like that. And then the dock that comes with the OLED model has an Ethernet port. So if you don't have very strong wireless connections, but you're sitting right next to your router, you can actually plug your Nintendo Switch in via Ethernet connection to get your signal and your internet connection there, as well as some improved speakers, just like the article said there. And that's it. Aside from the, I would have to say, the very slick white and black Joy-Cons, makes it look like cookies and cream. And I love cookies and cream. Other than those changes and that, those are really the big upgrades for this model. This is not, kind of as the article alluded to, this is not the, I say, fabled Nintendo Switch Pro that a lot of rumors and people have been talking about. I think even we've talked about it on the show here in the past. And also to break it down as well, those additional features is going to cost you an additional $50. So the Nintendo Switch standard model was $299. The Switch OLED model will be $349 MSRP. But that's it. And I know a lot of people online, the first thing that happened when this got announced, I think it was like the instant roller coaster of like, woo hype, Nintendo's new model, here we go, OLED model, I'm getting excited. And then they watch the video that Nintendo released and they're like, okay, I'm waiting for the 4K and the faster speeds, where's it at? It's not coming. What? Oh wait, that's it? What happened? Oh, okay, well, oh, all right, there's no upgrades. And kind of just slowly dipping down there. And I don't blame them. My first initial thoughts when seeing this were very much the same thing. I was like, oh, cool. You know, what new upgrades are they adding in there? And then watching the video, and they just talked about those highlights, but, you know, no faster RAM, no faster CPU, no faster GPU. So that means no 4K output on the TV, no higher res screen. And a lot of people were hoping to maybe get like a 1080p screen in the handheld mode. And I was a little bummed out. Yeah, well, I had a myriad of feelings. I was like bummed out. I was like, man, that kind of sucks. You know, I'm definitely, you know, that's not something that I'm going to upgrade for personally. And then I also thought in the back of my head, oh, that's great, because now I don't have to spend $300, $400 this holiday season to get another console, because I've got enough. Ask my wife. But it's, I think it's, It's a myriad of options. I will say my thoughts on it are, you know, first level, yeah, it sucks. It's not the Switch Pro that a lot of people were talking about or wanting to get. And then the question I wrote down, I wanted to talk, like, did we really need a Switch Pro? Even, I remember even like coming before this announcement, when this was coming, you know, people were talking about the Switch Pro, You know, I always thought that, man, that'd be cool. I have a 4K TV. It would be great to plug my Switch in there, and then it pops up with full 4K resolution instead of 1080p on my big 55-inch TV in the living room. But then I was like, do I really care? Does it really matter? For a myriad of reasons that this OLED model is out and it doesn't have these huge hardware leaps and bounds, because, you know, it's Nintendo's never played by the rules of other console makers, so they're not going to beat to the same drum as Sony or Microsoft and the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. But even then, you know, while I have that feeling that it would have been cool to see a 4K model, it wasn't necessary. I mean, the Nintendo Switch, even 4 years after its initial launch, the Nintendo Switch still sells like hotcakes. People are coming in. People cannot get enough of the original Nintendo Switch model. Just whenever they can find it, even the Nintendo Switch Lite. Like every time I go into stores, when I'm out at like Target or Walmart or Best Buy or anywhere like that, and I just happen to walk into the console area because I'm a gamer and that's what I do, that, you know, looking around, there are no Switch models. Just like there are no PS5s and there are no Xbox Series X systems, there are no Nintendo Switch models of any kind, whether the Lite or the regular one. And so, number one, it begs that question that I ask myself, is like, does it matter that there's an OLED model? Does it matter it doesn't have all these neato bells and whistles? No, because guess what? People are still going to buy the system. Even at, you know, honestly, if you're looking at the price there, $50 gets you a slightly bigger screen that's going to have OLED on there. It's going to, myself and a couple of my friends were OLED snobs. My 55 inches and OLED TV and kind of the truer to life blacks and some of the technology behind OLED, I've come to enjoy and appreciate more than LED there. And it definitely will, colors pop a little bit more on the OLED screen than they will on a traditional LCD panel or LED panel. And so if you're like coming in with this OLED model, those will be nice, cool features. You get double the storage as well. You'll get 64 gigabytes of internal storage as opposed to 32, which are nice boons to people who care about that stuff. And I think more importantly, to people who are still looking to get a Nintendo Switch. Honestly, Nintendo, I don't know what they're thinking. No one ever does. But my best guess is like, why change if it's not broke? I'm sorry, this is a Southern podcast. If it ain't broke, why fix it? You know, why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? And 4 years after a console was released, and after a console is still extremely successful, like, you know, we always tend to see at least two years after a console is released, 2 to 3. When it's in a pretty steady supply, that, you know, interest in it, people that want it, they get it. And then the kind of purchases in of this console dips down a little bit year after year. Not saying that its popularity goes down, but it looks like the people that are wanting it immediately get it. And then everybody else, they're maybe waiting for the right game or waiting for the right, you know, software feature, component, whatever. Or, you know, in some cases they're waiting for the hardware upgrade that they're looking for. But for the Nintendo Switch, and 4 years after its release, the fact that it is still so hard to find and get one, there are still people out there that want a Nintendo Switch for themselves to play and use. They want one, a Nintendo Switch Lite for their children or for the family, somebody in the family. And they've got that hardware, at least the internal CPU and RAM. Like, why go through the process, especially with COVID and this pandemic that we're trying to get completely out of, where we already dealt with hardware shortages and things of that nature? Why are we trying to, like, oh, okay, now we've got to reinvent the wheel and make a completely new CPU or motherboard block with a PCB and CPUs and RAMs? And I'm sorry if you don't understand what I'm talking about. If you're not tech savvy, I apologize. But just like all that hardware and process that and work basically create a new production line, which they're still sort of kind of doing with the OLED model there, but maybe not to the extent because the hardware changes are not vast. In this kind of tech shortage that we've been in for tech parts, when, you know, maybe a smaller minor update is something they can do a little bit more to add maybe some creature comforts that maybe their customer base has been wanting or been looking for. If this, I'll say that if this OLED model had been like $399 with these features, I would have been like, that was a mistake. Shouldn't do that. Don't do that. But at $50 additionally, what 100% what this is, what the OLED model is for, that I think are for two different types of people. They are for, number one, first and foremost, people that don't have a Nintendo Switch yet. This gives them another avenue to purchase a Nintendo Switch, and it also gives them the option of choice. Do I care about a slight, you know, a 0.8 inches on a screen and an OLED screen? Do I care about double the internal storage that might save me from having to pick up a memory card with my Nintendo Switch? If I care about those things, it might be worth it to me to spend the extra $50 and get the OLED model. If not, the original Nintendo Switch model is right there. I save $50, quote unquote, and getting that model there. And I think the other one, and I think that which a lot of people online, and I think even Nintendo to some extent has kind of talked about, is that that OLED model is aimed directly at the people who primarily play the Switch in handheld mode. 100%. If you're like me, who I primarily play on the television, the OLED model's not for you. And that's okay. Take the $350, go save up for a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, because we still can't fucking find those. But the OLED model is just not for you. It's that OLED screen, the main selling point of it, is specifically designed. You think about it. Think about all these features they talked about. The OLED model, which you're going to take full advantage of when you're in handheld mode. The kickstand, which you're going to take full advantage of when you're in handheld mode, or you've got it on the table, you pull it out and play with friends. The internal storage, more storage for when you're out and using it in handheld mode. The improved speakers, which coming from the unit, which will sound a whole lot better when you're in handheld mode. And then when you have to dock it to your, hook it up to your Nintendo Switch dock, you'll have that wired Ethernet port so you can download games a lot faster and get out of the house faster. Take it out of docked mode faster. You're not having to wait for however slow your Wi-Fi is to try and download a game. And then, you know, okay, now it's just like, boom, Ethernet. I got gigabit Ethernet, or however fast internet it is at home. It'll be a whole lot faster on Ethernet. Boom, it's loaded. I'm ready to rock and roll. I can take it and dip out and go hang out with friends at, you know, Jan at the party and play games or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what you people do. Okay, I know you know, thank you for listening, but I don't know what you guys do. That's 100% what this Switch OLED model is. And maybe there's data, empirical data that Nintendo has in the back end that shows how many people are using the system docked, how many people are using the system in handheld mode. And like, okay, we're seeing a lot more people are doing things handheld mode. Let's give a small kind of, I don't want to say meager, but a small refresh, kind of an update, and not even a refresh, just add another model there that might be more enticing to people who want to use this as a handheld primarily, because that those features are exactly what this is trying to be, is a handheld model. And for people like myself, and for people that are listening out there that primarily use your Nintendo Switch to dock in and you're playing on your big screen TV, guess what? It's not for you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay not to have to spend $350 for another console that has the exact same parts as the console you already own and you're probably playing on right now. It's fine. Put that money somewhere else. Have a nice dinner with your significant other. I don't know. But I do have a little bit of relief that I don't have the urge to go and buy this newest, latest, and greatest piece of hardware. And I don't think that it's a bad thing. Me personally, don't think it's a bad thing that this isn't the Switch Pro that we heard about. And for a lot of the reasons I talked about. The Nintendo Switch is just already so popular, such a big deal that why do we need, because it's been 4 years? Like, that's not necessarily a reason. Sure, that's happened in the past, but if you haven't been paying attention to the console space lately in gaming, things are changing a lot, and people are taking a lot of different avenues to how to approach how games are. The Nintendo Switch does it with a handheld hybrid system. Xbox Series X is doing it with or Xbox is with the Game Pass and stuff like that. PlayStation is gonna PlayStation, that's fine. They can do their thing there, whatever works for them. But it's a big thing that it's okay if this isn't for you. And that's, if you're really burning for that, just put the money away. And I'm sure there's been enough success with the Nintendo Switch that there's going to be a pro model somewhere down the line. Maybe when technology improves and they can fit the GPU that they need into the small form factor of the Nintendo Switch and not have it overheat or blow up or do anything like that. But, a couple of years down the road, we're gonna have that Switch Pro that everybody talked about, where you dock it in and it pumps out full 4K native on this on your OLED screen at home, and has like 7.1 surround sound, Dolby Atmos, and Zelda and Mario are like full 4K realized, just like Twilight Princess, where everything's so realistic, you just eyes pop out of your head. You just can't wait. Just wait. It's okay. My opinion, of course, take it with a grain of salt. You guys let me know what you think there, but I think it's okay that if you don't use this, if it's, the OLED model isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think it's just aimed at a particular set of people that Nintendo were trying to get under their umbrella there. But we'll see. I mean, sales are going to dictate how it is. I think this is going to sell out just because it's another Nintendo Switch, and people are still trying to, beating, stores are having to beat them with a stick, trying to get them away from trying to get a Nintendo Switch. May not as be in full of demand as the PlayStation 5 and the Series X are right now, because those are the new hotness, but there's still a heavy demand for these systems, and so there's no need to reinvent the wheel. Nintendo is still making money hand over foot, selling the original Nintendo Switch, and now for people that, for an additional $50, for people that want a slightly bigger screen, a slightly bigger and better screen, double the storage, and a cool kickstand, or cooler kickstand, you got it. It's there for you. So, it's okay. Just remember, when you're out there tweeting your tweets, doing your TikToks, or whatever you kids do nowadays, I don't know, just remember, take a second before you hit send on that tweet. It's okay if the OLED model switch is not for you. It's okay. Your time will come. If you want a 4K system, go find an Xbox or a PlayStation system. They'll give you all the K's and the P's and the I's. I don't know. We're getting out of this topic here. Before we move on to the next topic, guys, want to take a quick second here to, of course, thank everybody who's listening. Really appreciate your guys' support and kind of what I'm doing. I know 2021 has not been my year, but I appreciate everybody who's taking the time, even if you're just listening and enjoying the show. I appreciate it, guys. But there are awesome, cool ways you can help support me and support Rocket Punch. The easiest and cheapest way, of course, is to head over and review us on your audio service of choice. If you're listening to us on iTunes, if you're listening to us on Google Play, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us, if you take a few minutes of your time and give us a review, let me know how we're doing on the show. If you like Seth better, if you like me better, that which is the right answer, let us know. Let us know what you guys like and don't like about the show. That helps us out, gets us more discoverability on those platforms. And also, we read them. We check them out and read them. We take those to heart. Feedback is always the foundation for doing great things, and whether good or bad, we take them and we listen and we learn from them. I'm listening with you guys at all times there on anything you guys can suggest or recommend of what you like and don't like, and how we can make the show and content better for you. while you're reviewing that as well, you can also follow and share our content over on social media. I am at Rocket Punch Go on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me there primarily. I'm going to get that Instagram going back up again. I'll show some more pictures of all the crazy stuff I do when I'm not in front of a microphone or a computer screen there. But you guys can also can share feedback on those social platforms as well. Let me know what you guys like and don't like about the show and all the content. And I'm always glad to hear and listen to you guys there. But if you want to go even further beyond, there are a couple of ways you can do that to help support the show. If you watch on Twitch, any of the streams or the podcast when we live stream it, you can be, subscribe over there. That'll get you access to some cool emotes over on Twitch that you can use while you're out checking out the latest gameplay from Ninja or whoever the top streamer is. It's either Ninja or Dr. Disrespect. I don't know anymore. You can also become a patron over at patreon.com/rocketpunch. You can help support the show for literally $1 a month. Because of kind of all the content scaling back that I've been doing, and just it's over there. It's $1 a month. You can get access to all of our back catalog of exclusive content, audio shows, everything else that we've done in the entire history of Rocket Punch, as well as new content, behind the scenes footage, and other stuff. That I'm giving out to you guys as well. I'm definitely working on trying to make sure and give you more exclusive content on there. But for $1, literally $1, it's a pack of gum. You can, $1 a month, you can get access to exclusive stuff there. Just like the people supporting me as Rocket Punch producers, supporting us at the higher tier, the gold membership tier over on patreon.com/rocketpunch. I want to give a special thank you to Jossie M, Julian P, Stephen S, Adam C, and of course, everybody subscribed to us on twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive. I appreciate your guys' continued support. I'm doing what I can. I'm getting my head right back in the good headspace there, but I'm excited about some of the ideas that I have, and hopefully those will get smoothed out, and then the second half of this year will be a lot better than the first half. That is it for the pump up and the promos, guys. Here, let's jump back into my second topic of the show that I have, and my last topic for the night. And that is from good old Ubisoft, Ubiquitous Software. Some news came out this past week. I'm going to read from the man who gets all the latest news, Jason Schreier, over at Bloomberg.com. Reading an article he's written up, Ubisoft plans an Assassin's Creed live online game service. I'm going to read a little bit here from this article. Assassin's Creed, a video game franchise set in huge worlds where each one can take hundreds of hours to complete, is getting even bigger. A new project, which is known inside Ubisoft Entertainment SA by the codename Assassin's Creed Infinity, sets out to create a massive online platform that evolves over time, according to people familiar with its development. Whereas previous Assassin's Creed games each unfolded in specific historical settings, such as in ancient Greece or Ptolemaic Egypt, God, that was a hard one to get across, Infinity will contain multiple settings with room to expand to others in the months and years following its debut, said the people who asked not to be identified discussing a project under development. Individual games on the platform might look and feel different. There's going into some more detail there, but what's funny is that this broke and then eventually got confirmed literally after Jason Schreier and Bloomberg got the leaks on it here. I'm going to pick up again reading from Maddie Myers over at Polygon, kind of picking up a little bit more details on how this is going. The next game in Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed franchise will unfold across multiple historical settings and receive persistent updates, according to a report from Bloomberg. The game, which is currently codenamed Assassin's Creed Infinity, will join the likes of Fortnite and Apex Legends by offering ongoing updates to keep players engaged. Ubisoft later confirmed it is developing Assassin's Creed Infinity, writing in a blog post that, quote, a collaborative cross-studio structure between Ubisoft Montreal and Ubisoft Quebec will guide, grow, evolve, and define the overall future of Assassin's Creed that includes an important upcoming early in development project called, codenamed, Assassin's Creed Infinity. Recent entries in the 14-year-old Assassin's Creed franchise have ballooned in size. The most recent title, 2020's Assassin's Creed Valhalla, could easily take more than 100 hours to fully explore and complete. In this sense, the Assassin's Creed games have already offered a live service game experience by allowing players to truly devote huge chunks of their time to completing every side quest. This upcoming Assassin's Creed game will be the next logical step in the trend. Both articles go a little bit more in depth there, so definitely check those out over at Polygon and Bloomberg if you want to learn more. But I got differing opinions on this from what I saw online, at least on Twitter. There is kind of the crux of the question there is just Assassin's Creed Infinity. It's the code name for the next game, and it's going to be more or less a live service game. For people who don't know or don't remember that term, that's a game that's basically ongoing. You'll have a release and then they'll regularly patch it and continue patching the game with new features of various designs, whatnot. And so I think a question a lot of people have been asking, kind of I've been asking myself, is that is this the right move for the Assassin's Creed franchise? Is it going to be good for gamers? Are people going to should be excited about this? Should they be ready to rock and roll and jump in on this bandwagon? And giving my thoughts on it, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic, I think is the best way that I could describe it. Because on the one hand, live services game has gotten kind of a stigma. When sometimes people hear live service, it's like, ooh, oh, the horror stories, the dark times, you know, we're getting flashbacks of Star Wars Battlefront and the loot box scenario and all that other stuff. Like, oh my God, and Batman Arkham Knight and the PC version debacle and the $50 season pass. Oh, what are you doing? And all other horror stories like that. And so I think live service as a term has gotten a bad rap, for lack of a better term. And usually when people hear that, they don't think very fondly of it. Don't blame them. Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Batman Arkham Knight and all that other debacles and other incidents in the past have not been great by any stretch of the imagination. But what's interesting, and what this is part of that, you know, that was the cautious part. Here's the optimistic part for me, is that, in my opinion, I think Ubisoft as a company has been the company that handles live services and like live service games or games as a service, whatever you want to use there, the best. Not saying it's always been done well per se, but I think they've handled it the best with, you have your game release and promises of like consistent updates, and you have a couple of free small updates here or there. But if you get the season pass for, I think, a modest fee of like $20 or $30, depending on what you're offering there, or if you just end up getting their gold edition packages on, like, because they do that now with any game, right at purchase there, then you'll get access to at least a year's worth of content and seasonal updates and things of that nature every couple of months. So, you know, not only are you, you know, as the one of the articles described, you're playing through this 100 hour plus RPG style epic with Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but you're also going to get a couple of smaller updates after that, you know, kind of, I don't want to say pseudo expansion style games, like the Druid expansion pack that I know one of my good friends was talking to me about that he played recently, where you go to Ireland in Valhalla and things of that nature. And that's just Assassin's Creed as an example. If you look back at a lot of their entire catalog, really, games like Rainbow Six and The Division 2 and all those other games, they've, I think, done a pretty good job of keeping updates coming, not only full-featured updates for people to enjoy more content, but also kind of stability and quality of life fixes to the games, you know, based on community feedback and then also issues that they're seeing on their end. And so that kind of makes me optimistic and kind of, you know, as one of the articles stated, like, then it kind of makes sense. Like, the fact that if you think about the franchises that they have under their umbrella, The Division, Rainbow Six. I'm sure if I pulled up on my computer, a bunch of other games under Ubisoft, I just can't think of them right now. They've all kind of started implementing these live service features into them to, I don't know if stretch is the right word, but I'm just going to use it for the sake of not thinking any harder than I have to, stretching out the lifespan and life expectancy of these games. So now instead of a couple of months that you're playing this game, maybe you're active on it a lot longer. I mean, look at the Rainbow Six community. They, a game that wasn't necessarily reviewed or impressed at launch, they followed their model. They continued to update the game, add more features, and get those quality of life bug fixes. And now all of a sudden, Rainbow Six Siege is huge. They're getting Quarantine, which I'm pretty interested about to see how that game's going to go. And it's pretty impressive. And so to see their pedigree and to see that live service feature brought into Assassin's Creed as a whole is not a surprise to me. Honestly, I think it was they were kind of trending that way anyway. If you really think about the last two games in the series, Odyssey and Valhalla, think about, you know, they learned their lesson and stopped making Assassin's Creed every year. We slapped them on the hand for that, and they're like, oh, okay, we're sorry. You know, they'll bite the hand that feeds you. So now they space out their big game releases, but then they start looking, okay, hey, we got Assassin's Creed Odyssey here. It's a really big game, but after a year, people are going to be done with most of the content when, you know, 100 plus hours or whatnot. What are some ways we can keep people engaged? Maybe we have these new missions and this new island that we add in the game a couple of months afterwards, and we have our season pass, so maybe within the first year, you know, we have a small team that's working on content and quality of life updates for the game while another group is working on the big next full-featured one. And kind of working to that point where now that we have a bunch of different teams working on Assassin's Creed games, and we've kind of walked down this model of, oh, we've, you know, have these season passes after the big release, it maybe it's better streamlining it from a development standpoint. Maybe it's better streamlining for you that we just eventually walk down that road and make it a live service game, and where you just maybe, you know, you buy Assassin's Creed Infinity for $60, $70, whatever it's going to cost the first time you get it, and then every 2 years, or maybe, you know, I don't know, every 2 years you pay like $30 or $40 to get the next expansion for a live service game, or you're paying like $20 a year and getting whatever new season pass or content that is available to you at that time. Or maybe they do some type of seasonal, like, you know, $10 a month, and I don't know, you get all this other stuff. Hope they don't do that, but I don't know, it makes sense. Combining the team so that way, you know, because both the last two or three Assassin's Creed games have been great. And so now getting all those teams together, a huge, massive team collaboratively working on different areas, different venues and stuff, could be a big boon. I think, you know, there are a lot of questions to ask about it here. And all we have are the little tidbits. Basically, the blog post is, hey, it's going to be a live service game. Here are all the people that are co-collaborating on this game here. Blah, 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 blah. Names. Most of you probably don't even know. And so we don't have a lot of information on how Ubisoft is going to do this. But like I said, based on their track record that they've had in the last couple of years with how they've handled live services games, it makes me cautiously optimistic. I've never really seen anything egregious from Ubisoft when it comes to like loot boxes or season passes or things like that, which makes me feel kind of good. I think it's really going to come down to implementation, I think, and how they execute this, because I think they've done a really great job with the Assassin's Creed franchise so far with the last three games. Oh God, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Assassin's Creed Origins, which have been heralded, and people love those games. I love those games. And now we're to see it as a live service game may be a big boon and big excitement for a lot of fans out there of Assassin's Creed or just Ubisoft in general. And like I said, the big thing is that I think the big crux of it is just that live service is just, for some people, it's a bad word. It's, ooh, live service. Oh, no, never going to play that game again because of live service. When it's not, you know, that this comes to a larger conversation that I need to have with people and just voice my opinion on in the inner space. But just, I think sometimes us as gamers just get too gun shy and we hear a word or we see a phrase that has been universally decreed and we have no other information other than these words that people have tagged onto something, and we're just like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Oh, everything's going to burn. This game's going to suck. 0 out of 10. Oh my God, I'm sorry. It's going to suck. 8 out of 10. It's horrible. It's trash. And it's just maybe pump the brakes a little bit and let's wait and get more information, see how they implement it. Once they show us, which they're going to have to show us at some point, like, here's how the plan's going to go, then we can determine and say, okay, you know what? That might not be bad, or you know what? That's probably not for me. Doesn't sound like it's going to be all that great. Maybe I'll wait and see how the cookies, how the chips fall, as they say there. But I'm cautiously optimistic. It's one of those things where companies make money. We've known it for years now that there's a lot of revenue in doing live service games. Fortnite. That's one of many examples, Fortnite. And I'm sure they're looking at their data right there. Rainbow Six Siege, a perfect example of a game that they've kind of implemented a live service style of gameplay. And I'm sure they're looking at it like, oh my God, Rainbow Six is, I would say, not their biggest franchise, and we're making all this money and revenue from these updates. What if we took a similar approach to one of our largest franchise in our portfolio in Assassin's Creed? I understand it. More money. Because don't look, all the kids out there and everybody listening, don't fool yourselves. Like, money makes decisions happen. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, depends, I think, on the scenario. But, like, probably one of the main reasons they're looking at doing this is because of money. And they could probably make a good chunk of money on one of the most popular franchises in the gaming space in the recent years. So, it's definitely something we'll have to look out for. But is it the right move? I'll wait and see. I've actually liked seeing the new Assassin's Creed game every 2 to 3 years, you know, just when I'm like, man, I miss Assassin's Creed. I wonder what the next area is going to be like. They're like, boom, here it is. It's none of this back to back to back to year stuff and quality dips and things like that. And their quality and kind of the approach they've taken to the game has definitely improved, in my opinion. But whether this live service process is going to work in their favor, like I said, we really have to see. It's worked for some games. It's not worked for other ones. But we'll definitely have to see how that's going to shake. I read this, and the whole time, I'm just like, you know, it's cool to see that. Why doesn't Madden do... This is my soapbox rant. Why doesn't Madden have a... Why don't they implement a live service feature? Because they're making... You know, answer is they're making too much money because people buy the damn game every year for 60, 70 bucks. But wouldn't it just be nice to buy Madden Football? No year, just Madden Football. And then, like, every year you pay like 20 or 30 bucks to get like the updated roster put into the game. And then maybe like every 3 or 4 years, maybe you pay like, you know, maybe a full price game again. So you can get like with the PS6 or the Xbox Series Y, hell, I don't know, and the new consoles come out and it's 8K on your screen, and I get the 8K package that upgrades all. I can see Patrick Mahomes in full 12K, see the pores on his nose, and I pay for that. I do that. But, you know, the practice of, hey, we're just gonna release a yearly update every year, which more or less lately has just come bounced over to roster updates and a couple of other features and stuff for 70 bucks. EA, listen to me. If you're listening on the podcast right now, I'm giving you advice. You will win back a lot of fans that enjoy and play Madden. Just go to a live service model with Madden. Even FIFA too. Look, you know, I think FIFA's more popular than Madden. That's FIFA. It's soccer. It's world. But like, go to live service model. I'll pay for that. I'll do it every year. Just saying. And with that, guys, that is it for episode 42.5 of the Rocket Punch Show, guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate if you made it this far to the end of the show. I really appreciate you guys listening in. Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at Rocket Punch Go. Let me know what you guys think about the solo podcasts. Not saying that we will do them all the time. I 100% promise you I enjoy talking with Seth a lot more because we both get all in the heated arguments and have hot takes on various things there. But I want to know what you guys think about doing the solo episodes. You like it? You don't like it? What could be improved on it? Because definitely when these opportunities pop up and I don't have a guest to come on the show with me and I've got, you know, Seth isn't able to do it or I can't get Seth for some reason, that I want to keep doing these so that way we have, you know, there's a consistent, there's new content every week for you guys to listen to at a minimum. That's what I want. So hit me up at Rocket Punch Go on Twitter to let me know what you guys think about this. But other than that, guys, that is it for this show. As always, I appreciate you guys listening in here. Next week, hopefully, if there are no horrible storms, Seth and I will be back on here. We'll talk about the latest gaming news from the week and give our opinions and thoughts on various gaming topics in the gaming industry space. Until then, guys, thank you so much for listening, hanging out, supporting the show. Have a good night and have a good game. I'll talk to you next week.